must be out of step with their own rank and file members, because those members voted for Proposition 13 in large and enthusiastic numbers. But where the economic fairy tale shows up is in the convention's decision to battle for reimposing the property tax Proposition 13 canceled back on business and industry. They said it was a $3.5 billion break for business and therefore, by their reasoning, bad for the individual citizen. If they have their way, that $3.5 billion will end up being paid by the very individual citizens they claim they want to help. Whether it be corporation or corner store, taxes are part of business costs and must be recovered in the price of the product, meaning that all of us, as consumers, pay those taxes. Now let's take the case of a corner grocer in a nice middle-class neighborhood. The storekeeper rents the building. Everyone who shops there can understand that he must charge enough to cover the wholesale cost of the things he sells, wages to helpers, and his rent, plus a fair return for himself so he can make a living. But now, supposing he buys the building, there's no more rent, but there's interest on the mortgage and property tax instead of rent. Obviously, he can't stay in business if those costs can't be recovered in the price of the things he sells. And just like his wage-earning customers, many of them union members, he has to make enough gross income to pay his living costs after he's paid his income tax. What this all adds up to is that government can't tax things like businesses or corporations. It can only tax people. When it says it's going to make business pay, it is really saying it's going to make business help it collect taxes. Into our corner store comes a regular customer to pick up a loaf of bread on his way home. We've already covered the fact that the grocer's markup includes a share of the property tax on the store. But the truth is, the wholesale price the storekeeper paid to the bakery included its taxes and more than 150 others going all the way back to the farmer who raised the wheat. If he can't get a price for his wheat that'll cover the real estate tax on his farm, he can't stay in business either. If the trucker who hauled the wheat can't charge enough to cover his license fees and gasoline tax, he can't stay in business. Union leaders will serve the men and women they represent a lot better if they'll drop the demagoguery and take a simple course in economics. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off with Kenny Enney and Darcia Stebbins. And we are here in studio and have, I think it will be an interesting time today and would appreciate audience participation here, because we would like to talk about the best and the worst of 2025. And hearkening back to Charles Dickens and A Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times.
I think it's a tale of two states in our in our case. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So I didn't hear the commercial about having it be Pie Day, but last week I had heard the commercial from Lynn's Pies, and that really sounds like something that maybe a family might enjoy this coming holiday season. Family coming into town, Kenny?
Family's here.
All right, there you go.
Kids are back from the East Coast.
I have some coming and some going, so hopefully we'll overlap a little bit. But here we are, 2025, coming to a close. Can you believe it?
Great year, I think.
I think it's been an excellent year, actually.
Even for us stuck behind the red curtain in California.
Yeah, I think Prop 50 is one of those that probably goes into the best of times and the worst of times categories. And worst of times meaning that here we have a undemocratically put forward proposition on the ballot and an entire state vote, quote unquote vote, and this election that costs millions and millions, $250, $300 million. At
Peanuts.
Some point, you know, it's just couch change.
when you're start $18 billion in the hole for your budget, what's another couple hundred million?
That's just this year. Then there's next year and the year after that when it's more than that.
But he'll be gone by that point. So,
well, running for president?
We can talk about that. That's part of my prediction for 2026.
All right. So we want to cover best and worst of 2025. Oh, I do want to go back to Prop 50, the worst and the best. So the best part about Proposition 50 is, in my opinion, it makes it very obvious where we are in the state of California and where our elections are in the state of California and where the political movement is in the state of California and how that relates to the entire country. So I believe that it brings forward the Constitution of the United States of America, the California Constitution, that may or may not be followed at this point. I say it's not being followed. And the Declaration of Independence, as our founding fathers realized that after a long train of abuses, that it was time to separate from King George and the British crown. And they declared their independence and started a new country.
Yeah, on Monday, they had the hearing for Prop 50. And I think there were 19, what's the word, plaintiffs. This is the word I'm thinking of. But they had the hearing in front of a three-judge panel from the Ninth Circus. Interestingly enough, the state claimed legislative immunity and wouldn't allow the individual who is not elected, but the individual who drew up the maps for Prop 50 was not allowed to testify in front of the hearing. So my understanding is that there should be a decision out by sometime in mid-January as to whether those maps will hold or not. And again, the challenge was the fact that when those maps were drawn, the emphasis was not just on political gerrymandering, but racial gerrymandering, and that's the part that is unconstitutional. So we will see. It could be good news for the Republicans.
Well, even in the whole case of having one of the leadership in the state Senate saying, hey, who drew up these maps? I'm part of the leadership and I haven't seen these maps. How are we voting on these maps when it hasn't even come before the leadership? And so I think we'll end up at a place where the Constitution or the legislative portion of how propositions can come forward to the ballot. And even the whole issue of gut and amend, which some people don't necessarily understand, and I wasn't familiar with it, but it's where a bill starts out in our state, either Senate or legislature, and it goes through the different committees. And then what happens is all of a sudden, you know, the whole text of that whole bill is gutted, is removed, and a new text goes in. Well, it's already been read through certain committees, and now it's coming up ready to be passed, and it's a whole different bill. And that's what they're calling gut and amend. So it might even have three dots in it, and right. That's the bill that's gone through committee.
Franken-bill.
Thank you. That's different than frankincense.
or Frankenstein was really where it was going.
All right, thank you.
With that.
And we want to make sure that everyone realizes today is participation, audience participation. We have a list of about 10, 15 items that go on best or worst or both and why. And then we want to talk about some predictions for 2026.
Yeah, actually, I have more than five that I'll have to pare down, but it's there's a great California Globe article called "The Top 50 Disasters Governor Gavin Newsom Isn't Ushered into California, the 2025 edition." Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Kenny and Darcia.
Merry Christmas.
Is there anything in the courts that's going to deal with this transgender guys in the girls' sports?
Well, that is on my prediction for 20. That's actually on my best of 2025, because I think the U.S. versus Scrimeti decision out of the Supreme Court that was in June of this year. And just to read the transcript out of that, the punchline out of that was the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a Tennessee law banning certain medical care for minors related to treating gender dysphoria, gender identity disorder, or gender incongruence. In so holding, the Supreme Court acknowledged that a person's identification as, quote, transgender, end quote, is distinct from a person's, quote, biological sex. This reinforced the Trump administration's position that Title IX only protects individuals based on their biological sex. So there's a case that's going to be heard. I think the hearing is going to actually take place in January, early February as well. And I don't know, I can't remember the name of it, but it's got Idaho. Okay. It's Idaho and West Virginia are the two states. And then you had 13 school districts from, I think it's 13 right now, school districts from California that signed on and wrote amicus briefs in support of those two states. But those cases will go in front of this case combined from two cases from around the country. I think one's from Fifth Circuit, one's from Ninth Circuit. They'll go in front of the Supreme Court, and the decision will come out in June. And I suspect that in 2026, you're going to see a dagger stuck through the heart of this craziness once and for all. Fingers crossed.
And RFK
Jr. Okay, I have a question for Darcia.
Okay.
Darcia?
Yes?
So is Newsom going to be able to implement this new redistricting, or is that going to be held up?
Well, that we were mentioning that there's a case right now. They're bringing it forward. There's testimony, and I believe that it was not brought forward constitutionally following California's constitution, and that because it does affect federal offices, I believe that the U.S. Constitution has some right to say how things are going to be districted. So I believe at some point in time, it calls out the elections processes in California, how it can be a civil rights violation if there's manipulations of the vote and the voting process. And I believe that constitutionally, the federal government does have a say in how their electors are being brought forward and into Congress. So I think it will be. It will be overturned.
Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas,
Dale. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
And so going forward with that, I would say on a national level, one of the best things that happened for our country, and I look at it as Americans, as a country, is having Donald Trump be back in the Oval Office, the quote Biden administration, with open borders, as a destructive force in our country, that it certainly was not allowing for bringing people together and impacting American families. And I just see that the open border situation, Donald Trump in the Oval Office making executive orders, hopefully getting some of those, and with the one big beautiful bill, so to speak, that there were some of those executive orders that were codified. So I believe at some point in time, we are going to start seeing the benefits of having Donald Trump in office, the tariffs that he's put forward, starting the external revenue service. I'm hopeful, even as a tax preparer, I'm hopeful that the internal revenue service, as far as individual income tax, will subside or go away. And if the external revenue service wants to be replacing that funding, at some point, if the government can print its own money and can allow for billions of dollars to be paid out, that I think that taxing its citizens is probably not the way to go. And Collier, you're on the air. Do you have a best or a worst?
I was wondering, I have a question that's not on topic today, but I understand that the Paso School District still allows boys and girls sports and in private places. Is that just a simple vote from the school board, like three out of five, or how does this actually work?
Well, great question.
It actually it stems from a law, a California state law, which was AB 1266, and I don't know the name, but you can Google AB 1266 and look it up. But basically, that was passed back in 2013. And pretty much no one paid attention to it, and it was the transgender community kept testing the waters and pushing the boundaries until suddenly when the Obama administration was leaving office, they rewrote Title IX to make it nationwide. Trump rescinded that as soon as he came into office in 2017. The Biden administration then in 2021, I believe, went back to the Obama Title IX, and then Trump has basically reversed it again. So technically, and here's the issue, and this is how I'm answering your question, but federal law always, no pun intended, trumps state law.
Right.
And that's,
okay, that's understood.
And the state law right now permits transgenders to use whatever bathroom they feel comfortable with or play in whatever sports they're comfortable with. You have districts.
So if federal law prohibits it,
correct,
is the state still going to do it?
The state is doing it. And the state is being sued.
Didn't federal law prohibit that already? I think that's what happened.
Well, Title IX, and this is the debate. The people on my school board and your school board in Paso Robles, the majority wants to follow state law. My argument is we need to follow federal law because, one, that's the way the Constitution is written. The progressives on the board, Joel Peterson, Jim Cogan, the Williamses, they want to follow Gavin Newsom and Sacramento.
And truthfully, they're, quote, legal counsel. And so the legal counsel has been advising many of the school boards across the state, and Lozano and Smith is one of the 60%.
They represent about 60% of the school districts.
Of the school districts in the state. And they're saying that the advice to the school boards is that they follow the state law.
And so
Paso High School and Paso schools are following this. I mean, has it an impact? Is that actually going on? Do we have boys and girls private places? Do we have boys participating in girls sports? Is that actually happening in Paso?
That is actually happening
it
in
is
Paso.
Actually happening.
So you've got two brave young girls, young ladies, I should say.
Three
now, that's correct. So, they're my new heroes, the Wallerman girls and
Chloe Breeze.
They've been speaking regularly in front of the school board, asking that the school board take steps to protect their privacy and their rights. The progressives on the Paso school board saying there's nothing we can do, our hands are tied. My response is pretty much that's BS. If we wanted to, there are a lot of things we could do, like invest money and, you know, redesign the bathrooms. There are lots of things.
I agree. Thanks for my time.
Yes, sir. Merry Christmas. All right, we'll be back shortly.
Before we realize it, we will begin celebrating another new year. At Davis Body Shop, we have taken part in over 50 New Year celebrations, and it started back in 1962. Over these years, our New Year's resolutions have remained the same, giving you impeccable quality workmanship, always giving you a written guarantee, giving you the very best value, and making sure that your experience is as pleasant as possible. And that includes assisting you in getting your insurance paperwork filed properly. Remember, at Davis Body Shop, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Davis Body Shop has two locations, one on El Camino Real, downtown Atascadero, and the other on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet. From the Davis Body Shop family to yours, best wishes for a happy holiday season.
Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bordan to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
The Spirit of Paso Robles Restaurant has a wonderful atmosphere for all your friends and family. Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood is now serving weekly dinner specials like fried chicken on Wednesdays, Alaskan halibut Fridays, prime rib Saturday, and barbecue ribs on Sunday. Tell your friends and family to meet you at the new local favorite, the Spirit of Paso Robles Restaurant, located in the River Oaks neighborhood, right in the middle of the golf course.
Show it depends on you folks today, so call in anytime, 238-5775, 238-5775. I wanted to go back to something that Darsha said, that she said we're going to start feeling the impacts of the Donald Trump presidency. I think 2025 is probably going to go down as a historic year, frankly, and I think we're already feeling the positive impact of Trump. Just look at the border.
That's the biggest thing.
This time last year, everybody and their brother and sister were saying there's no way you can shut down the border. He shut it down within a couple of weeks. You look at even in California now, just the other day, the Trump administration is taking steps to basically secure the California border, basically from Otay Mesa all the way out to El Centro. And they've basically taken federal land. If you ever want to look at something that's interesting and why I always thought you could easily do this, if you look at a map of federal territory in the western United States, probably 80 to 90% of the border lands from California, Arizona, New Mexico. Over to Texas is federal land. So you don't need posse comitatus rules. It's federal land. You could put the Marines in there, the Army, National Guard, whatever you want to do, and you can patrol that land, and that frees up a lot of the Border Patrol. And that's exactly what they've done in California. They transferred a lot of the federal land over to Department of Navy control. So now U.S. Marines get to go and patrol there. I used to do that when I was a second lieutenant. And we used to...
For other countries, even?
Well, no. We patrolled federal lands under the Bush 1 administration, basically... supporting Border Patrol. They had a different name back then, but it was Border Patrol. And you know, if you saw something suspicious, you radioed it over to federal law enforcement, and federal law enforcement went and investigated. But it was great training. I had a scout sniper platoon. We didn't get to shoot anybody, which is a good thing, but it was good training for us. So
well,
we're already
I do
feeling.
And just to clarify, I absolutely feel that. And for a lot of people who, I mean, Donald Trump is not my Lord and Savior. He's not my king. He's not any of those things. But I so appreciate that we have a leadership that is now putting forward American values and the U.S. Constitution. I keep going back to the Constitution because what is Article 4, Section 4? It says the United States guarantees to every state in the Union, including California, three things. It includes, you know, being able to, first of all, have a Republican form of government where we have representation. That, two, that there's freedom from invasion. And that's absolutely what has taken place. And that there's protection so that you would have domestic tranquility. And when there starts to be unrest in the streets and we have millions of people, and the number that people throw around is 14 million illegal immigrants coming across, call them undocumented workers, call them workers, call them neighbors, whatever you want to call it. When you don't have a border, you don't have a country. And when the United States taxpayers are paying for people to receive services from the United States while they're in the United States and they're not American citizens, what is that? That is an invasion. And I actually believe that it was calculated to have millions. I believe it could be up to 50, 60, 70 million people came into this country, not just from Mexico, from hundreds of countries across the nation, you know, across the globe.
Right. You wind up diluting the character of the country. You know, continuing the discussion on illegal immigration, the Trump administration in the last couple of days, since everybody's harping on them about, you know, the prices are still too high. One thing they have been able to track and show is that as illegal aliens have started to self-deport, and I believe the numbers between self-deportation and what they've deported is probably between 2.5 to 3 million now, are the numbers that I remember. But what they're starting to see now is that rents are coming down because you have less competition, supply and demand. So as demand goes down, and that demand was artificially inflated by people that weren't supposed to be here, and that by people that were getting, you know, free debit cards from the taxpayers. Now that all that money's dried up, those people can't afford to stay here anymore. And so rents are starting to come down in places like New York City.
There's a lot of people leaving New York City as well. So
yeah, I will have to wait and see how that turns out. And I don't think we'll really see until next summer. But, you know, back to Trump, I think you've already started to feel the impact of his presidency. And, you know, again, my my number one issue with Trump positives for Trump so far are really his executive orders, basically reestablishing the rights of young women in sports and basically reestablishing the truth of nature and God and the family. That, you know, there are biological
God and nature's God reference.
Yeah. But, you know, his executive orders that he issued in January and February, combined with the Supreme Court rulings in the U.S. versus Scrimeti and hopefully the decisions that I mentioned earlier, I think you're going to probably see the end of transgenderism and in our public life going forward. So.
And we can look forward to, after the break, I have a clip I'm going to play and should explain some of what we're discussing. And please call in, best of times, worst of times, locally, state, federal, and we'll take a look at your text messages if you want to send in your text messages. And look forward to hearing from you. Top of the hour, it'll be about 1:08 by the time we come back.
AM
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.